God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Hope you'll join me in prayer. I learned this morning that a gentleman named Jamie White, I don't know Jamie, didn't ever get to meet him. He worked for someone that the Mockingbird media has decided is controversial, and Alex Jones is controversial. Alex said some incredibly stupid things about murders of school children, and incredibly stupid and hurtful. And I have a big problem with what he said, because I had a friend whose mother was there, and she covered the bodies of her beloved school children with her own body. Praise God she lived, but I lost a friend, which is minor in comparison to what the families there lost. Still, Alex has done some great work. I've not met him. I'd love to meet him. Interesting man. His Jamie White had been Alex Jones's best writer, he said. He was murdered outside of his home in Austin, Texas, shot, apparently, and didn't show up for work. Was a young man who loved to work. So we don't know what happened. The account is hazy, and we'll get more reports. I am praying that he wasn't assassinated. I'm praying that, and it doesn't matter the man is dead, that I pray that he knew the Lord Jesus, primarily. And primarily, I pray that obviously because it would mean that we know where he is. He's in the arms of the Savior. I don't know that. I pray that, and I use this opportunity to ask you, do you know where you're going when you die? Do you know? If that causes fear in your gut, you don't know. And I used to be a necrophobiac, fully into complete panic breakdowns. If I ever allowed myself to think of dying, I am no longer that way. I can't wait to see Jesus, even though I now really enjoy life. So we pray for this young man, pray for his family, and I'm praying it's not a political assassination. And there's good reason to pray that. Over the weekend, a Tesla dealership in Seattle was torched. That comes on the heels of an announcement and an interview a woman named Valerie Costa of Seattle did. She has helped create and foster a website called Tesla Takedown. And she gives instructions on how people can use that to target Tesla dealers. In the interview, as I recall, she says that this was inspired by the act of the young man who decided to kill the CEO of United Healthcare. She came out and said that. And that Elon Musk needs to be targeted because of what she has determined are his illegal activities. You know, like showing where the government's wasting money. And for that, he must be killed. Oh, sorry. She said targeted. There's reason to pray that this was not a political assassination, and perhaps it wasn't. Most likely it wasn't. Austin's a town that's been allowed to be turned in some ways into Seattle. Not as bad or anywhere near as bad, but getting there because of leftist policies. And the fraud that's being uncovered. Have we praised God enough for this? I firmly believe that the Lord is taking this curtain and destroying it. This curtain that had hidden this temple at which many Americans had worshipped, the temple of government, the temple of cult of personality. Because that's what government has become, cults of personality. I truly believe God is showing us, look at the corruption. Look at the theft. Look at the coveting. Come to me. And of course, there's still people who worship government or the manifestations of it. Would you believe me if I told you that $1 trillion taxpayer dollars were stolen during the COVID lockdowns and that 70% of the money went overseas?
When you think about what happened during the pandemic, $1 trillion was stolen. 70% of that money went overseas. And I can give you some examples. In a Western state, they had more people applying for unemployment insurance benefits than they had individuals over 18. The people that were stealing the money from Romania were using it to facilitate other fraud schemes that include fentanyl, that include doing things to impact our democracy. On the insider threat, right, the first thing you have to say, and my dad was a public servant, is 99% of people that work in the public sector are honest, hardworking individuals.
Well, and that's true. And what Mr. Talkove mentions there, I can give a little bit more explanation behind it. It was the congressional testimony. In the separate country of Washington State, $1 billion was stolen overnight. Interestingly, someone within the tech department of the separate country of Washington State, or someones, decided to turn off every single fraud prevention technique that existed. There were times where they were sending massive amounts of money to the same bank account over and over and over and over again. We're told they got $500 million back. What about the other $500 million? Everything about it looked like an inside job. So, of course, we need to burn down Tesla dealerships. And, of course, there are people not just hinting at, but demanding that Elon Musk be assassinated. They're members of the Mockingbird Media who have taken to calling Elon Musk the president, the governor, and they're winking at the destruction of Tesla dealerships. And by the way, when that doesn't change anything, and Elon Musk continues to do what he's doing, and we continue to have the left celebrating the guy who apparently murdered the CEO of the company called United Healthcare, and they continue to make him a cult figure, why would we not see more murders of people, maybe even Tesla executives? God forbid. Do you remember all the warnings about the mass acts of violence that would occur if President Trump took office? They're occurring, but not in the way we were told they would. And President Trump's doing some amazing things. On some things, he's dreadfully wrong. He continues to be wrong on the injections. I have deep concerns about Pam Bondi. She's looking to expand the surveillance state. I don't think she's ever really going to give us the Jeffrey Epstein videos, which is really what the evidence is. I don't think that she is really the person that was sold to us. But President Trump is doing some great things. Donald Trump had a big announcement regarding job gains for native-born Americans.
Big gains for native-born Americans. For the first time in 15 months, the job gains for native-born Americans, for American people, people born in America, exceeded job gains for migrant and foreign-born workers. This is the first time that's happened in more than 15 months. Employment for native-born workers went up by 284,000, while foreign-born workers went down by 87,000.
This is great cause for celebration because a lot of this has to do with self-deportation, where people who'd come into the country illegally took stock of what's going on. They'd rather not be visited by ICE and forced out of the country. They would rather leave on their terms. God bless them. Tulsi Gabbard and Kristi Noem are two women now acting on behalf of the American people. Kristi Noem, someone I don't particularly trust because she sold out her home state utterly. Perhaps this is redemption for her. If so, fantastic. Kristi Noem has taken the CBB1 app. This is the app that the people who ran Joe Biden created. to help illegal immigrants better come into the country without having to go through the bother of coming, walking across the southern border. They could just fly into the country and be hidden in the country. And they were given these phones with this app so they can stay in touch, so that they know which court date to not come to. Well, those apps are still in the country, and Kristi Noem has changed the function of this with the next update of the app. When people open the phone, if they go to that app, it's going to tell them to go home and to register when they get home. And when they do that, we'll put them in line to come back legally. Or don't do it, in which case we're going to come for you. Well, if judges let us. The coup continues, the soft coup, within the executive branch. There are no lawsuits stopping Congress from keeping their $17 million congressional sexual assault slush fund secret from us. After all, that's the legislative branch taking care of the legislative branch. Congress investigates Congress. There's no subservient courts ruling that Justice Roberts must release the evidence on the investigation of the leaks around the Dobbs decision. After all, those are subordinate courts. They can't do that. But all around the country, there are activist, corrupt judges who are doing things like seizing American foreign policy. President Trump's foreign policy is, we don't go out and cause color revolutions in other countries. We don't do that anymore. We don't export atheism or the lies of transgenderism. That's the new way. But a judge has said, no, you're still going to do that. And the Supreme Court said, well, we're not going to stop this small court from seizing control over U.S. foreign policy. Well, that's just foreign policy. Yeah, it's just $2 billion. But let's look at something else that an activist judge might decide to stop. Tulsi Gabbard explained how the Figureheads administration let known terrorists into our country.
Our National Counterterrorism Center went through and identified those individuals. There were hundreds of them who were either known terrorists or associated with known terrorists. That information was provided to the Biden administration. You may remember in some of the news, a little over 100 of those people were arrested in 2024. Of those who were arrested, only 8 were either deported or remained in custody. Only 8. The rest of them were released back into our country.
So if, let's say, Tulsi Gabbard was decided to track them down with the help of Tom Holman, Kristi Noem, an activist judge could say, oh, no. You can't deport them. The last administration said they could stay. Oh, is that a stretch? It's not. Until yesterday, an activist judge who has expressed deep hatred for President Trump had been forcing President Trump to keep on the payroll an inspector general who refuses to carry out the orders of President Trump. And this judge has said, well, he has a 5-year deal. The last so-called president gave it to him, so the new president can't fire him. The new boss doesn't get to pick his staff. Why could another activist judge not come along and say, yeah, you don't get to deport those people because Joe Biden said they could stay? Tulsi Gabbard also warned the U.S. of Islamic extremists gaining control in Syria.
I shed no tears for the fall of the Assad regime. But today we have an Islamist extremist who is now in charge of Syria, as I said, who danced on the streets to celebrate the 9/11 attack, who ruled over Idlib with an Islamist extremist governance, and who has already begun to persecute and kill and arrest religious minorities like Christians in Syria.
I understand.
Why that should be acceptable to anyone is beyond me.
It shouldn't
it is
be.
Certainly
and
not
I understand,
in our
but interest. I appreciate it.
So what if an activist judge came along and said to President Trump, actually, you can't go rescue those Christians? Could an activist judge seize control of the American military? Sure. Any district court judge could seize control. That's what John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett decided. It's having real world effect. You'll hear from a Christian in Syria next. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We will be in the world and not of it in this segment. And part of that is remembering, for me at least, that difficult suggestion, that hint Jesus gave us where he said, hey, if you guys feel like it, you know, maybe consider from time to time expressing some love for your enemies. It's not exactly the way he said it. It was a command. And failure to do that is sin. Simply saying to God, we choose not to. It's too hard. To say to the Lord, who on the cross, scourged, beaten, they'd attempted to steal his dignity, they were gambling for his clothes, they were mocking him. He chose to act in love. Probably didn't feel it. Not the human portion of Jesus, fully man, fully human. Do you think the human portion of Jesus was on that cross with his chest burning with great feelings and his face in a grin at how he loved and anxious to hug and embrace? The God part of him, fully God, fully human, may have wept. He spoke, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Perhaps it's an act of the will. We're told, of course, that loving the lovable, well, that's easy. I mean, the pagans love their families and the lovable and their friends. What reward is that? How difficult is that? But what of loving the unlovable? After all, I don't know about you. There are times when I'm flat unlovable, chiefly when I'm driving. I Satan must have made my truck. I should have my truck exercised. I'm at my worst. I guess I could put it down to my personality. I'm an A type. I have a goal. I need to get to work. I need to be the first there. I always need to be the first there. I always got to be early. And Satan will take that good desire to be early and turn it into me screaming at my neighbor behind them on the road. I was trying to do a better job of that this morning, reminding myself, be in the spirit. I've been trying to take slower ways to work, actually, to try to practice the skill of being in the spirit. But that's just driving. We're watching in Syria the murder of Christians en masse. And in the last segment, we just talked about the fact that Tulsi Gabbard warned about this. And I'm also combining this with the lawlessness of district court judges seizing control of U.S. foreign policy. Factually speaking, if the judge from Rhode Island can seize control of U.S. foreign policy by going to the duly elected president of the United States of America, the unequivocal, unquestioned leader of the executive branch, and saying to him, actually, you have to send that money. Even when that court has no jurisdiction, Rich Lowry explains in a great editorial that there's a federal court specifically assigned to issues of federal payments. So not only does he not have jurisdiction, he simply does not have any power to issue a ruling that binds the United States in the personage of the executive. But if he can do this in foreign policy, he can do it in matters of war. If President Trump decided to take military action to go rescue these Christians, or to stop the genocide of other people, because there's the Ahrawi people who are also being murdered. If President Trump decided to take humanitarian action in this, why could a district court judge not come in and say, no, you can't do that? I mean, the judge who did this, binding the president to send these monies to these non-American groups, anti-American groups, he determined that it was unreasonable for the president to withhold it. You know that part of the Constitution where it says the president will not do anything unreasonable? Wait, that doesn't exist, does it? Judges and what they think is reasonable doesn't matter. Not in an issue like that. But another district court judge, say, from Connecticut, could come along and say, yeah, I don't like that tactic you're using in the battlefield where you're combining the drones with land forces. It just has to be drones. Or it just has to be land forces. It's unreasonable to use drones and land forces. It's not fair. Why could a judge not do that? lawlessness is godlessness. Not always, but they go hand in hand because God is a God of law and order. So we're seeing the results of lawlessness in Syria. We're watching what Tulsi Gabbard predicted would happen if they took out Bashar al-Assad, who was a bad man. And the Middle East is governed by a false faith, largely the Islamic faith, which in my judgment is satanic. And so they're going to have satanic things happen there. Here's a Christian man risking his life to explain what's happening to Christians in Syria right now.
Covering my face now because I don't want anyone to see my face, because if they see me, they will kill me. I'm from Syria. I live now in the city of Latakia. Please, please, please. The media is not showing you anything. The terrorists are killing everyone, children, women, teenagers, old people, just killing. There is more than 100 body in my... There is more than 100 body in my village. Now, even in the city, they are just taking the children and the women and kill them. I don't know what to do with my mom and my two sisters. Please, you gotta help us. Nobody is talking anything about it. Not the social media or the TV channels. They are all hiding the truth. They are saying that they are killing the resistance, but this is end up 2 days ago. Please, you gotta help us. They have been killing people since 2 days until now. Hundred and hundred and hundred of bodies are thrown in the street, in the villages, and in the city of Syria.
Can we pray for them? Father God, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And you know why he wept, and sometimes we guess. We know you love your creation. We know that you consider human beings your masterpiece. After all, you made us in your image. Father God, you tell us that you counted every hair on our heads. We know that you sent your Son as propitiation for our sins, sins that have occurred, and every sin that will occur. We know that you love us. You want us home with you. We're to make disciples in your name. We're to follow you. And these are Christians, Lord. And we would ask, if it's your will, that you swiftly bring an end to these murders. That you swiftly cast a cloak of protection around them. And if not, Lord, if it's not your will, what are we to learn from this? What are we fellow Christians to learn? And help us hurt, Lord. When one member of the body of Christ is in pain, we're all to hurt. Help us properly experience this pain. Animate us to do your will in regard to this. Animate President Trump and the military and Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, to do what you want them to do in this situation. Let them act upon your wisdom, not their own. For fearing you, Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. I ask these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. So Tulsi Gabbard warned us. But lawlessness and godlessness are at least cousins, right? God being a God of law and order, not chaos. There is some new information that's come out from the FBI as we're getting a new administration releasing more documents. I've talked about a project on this program called Project Cassandra. This was a verified project in a story broken by the Politico, one of the biggest political scandals in history that got absolutely no attention. 7 named intelligence sources working in intelligence, not former, working, gave their names to the reporter and said they had done a massive investigation with some of our foreign partners, FBI, CIA, MI5, other foreign entities, to identify the Taliban members who were working in partnership with Mexico-based narco-terrorists to smuggle over, under, through, and across our southern border heroin into a country being destroyed by, among the drugs, heroin. They had done this investigation, identified the people, located them, determined which assets could go seize them, had written indictments, Once the indictments were filed and signed off on, they would then activate these international partners, no doubt with some U.S. military assets, probably special forces, to arrest these people and bring them back into the United States to stand trial for what they were doing in our country. They would do the same with the Mexico-based narco terrorists. They were ready to effect the arrests, and Barack Hussein Obama said, no. Stop. Do you remember when the Mockingbird media came out and said that this was a stunning and irregular disruption of the independence of the Department of Justice and the FBI? No, you don't remember that. Never happened. That article that broke that story blew away in the wind. Not fit for human consumption. Now we learn. There's yet more detail. This comes from the New York Post. Obama Justice Department, John Kerry systematically derailed FBI probe of Iranian terrorists while pursuing nuclear deal with nuclear deal. This comes from whistleblowers. The Obama administration systematically derailed an FBI probe into Iranian terrorists with then Secretary of State John Kerry personally interfering to block arrest to score a nuclear weapons pact with Tehran. Show recently released bombshell emails. These newly released unclassified FBI communications from 2015-2016 show how officials in then-President Barack Obama's Justice and State Department stopped federal agents from enforcing U.S. sanctions in Iran and set up a shadow amnesty program that protected scores of additional Iranian criminals. The covert effort included the abandonment of dozens of Iran-related investigations by the FBI and related cases by federal prosecutors after recognizing the State Department and DOJ obstruction would thwart effective enforcement efforts, whistleblower disclosures say. Kerry and the State Department sold out the safety of Americans and our allies when they provided $1.7 billion in cash to Iran, which unsurprisingly Iran used to continue development of their weapons programs to better equip and fund their proxies. The death and destruction seen on October 7, 2023 in Israel is only one of the tragic results from providing this cash to Iran and from the State Department, DOJ leadership, and FBI Director Comey systematically obstructing Iranian investigations and prosecution for years. Oh, by the way, one of the other places that money was spent? Syria, where Christians are being murdered. One of the things we've learned through the DOGE discoveries is the fact that these non-governmental organizations that were getting your taxpayer money weren't non-governmental. Many of them were getting 100% of their funds from government, all too often to carry out orders antithetical to the United States of America, and all too often those monies going back to terrorist-sponsoring countries, sometimes directly to terrorist-sponsoring organizations. And we've also been told that on these NGO boards, there are the brothers and sisters and wives and kids of congressmen and congresswomen and men and senators receiving that delicious graft. Money for nothing. Chicks for free, Dire Straits said, referring to women. Terrible phrase for women. It's your money for nothing. Great business model if you can sustain it. It's thieving. You shall not steal. When you hear these things, are you quickly dropping to your knees and praying for Jim Comey? And for Barack Obama? And John Kerry? Or does the anger rise up in you? Being God must be hard. Good thing he's God, not me. Because after by myself to stop and go, wow, they are our enemies. They are destroying this country. They are causing the death of all these Christians, and yet we're to love them. Wow. Sanctification hurts. Sometimes Christians are our own worst enemies. I'll give you an example. A rally was held at the Lincoln Memorial where disgraced former National Institute of Health Director Francis Collins was leading the protests in a song.
You got that? So it's just all the good people, but the second line, part of this family, and the last line, we're joined together by this noble dream. Do that with me. This is a song for all the good people. Come on! This is a song for all the good people. We're joined together by this noble dream. Well, this is a song for all of those dreamers who are looking for answers to come our way. Scientists, doctors, students, all seekers, we share in the hopes for a much brighter day. Come on now. Well, this is a song for all the good people, all the good people who are part of this family. This is a song.
That's enough.
For all the good.
You get the point. Evangelical leaders celebrated that man, Francis Collins, being the head of the National Institute of Health because he was a Christian who did research on aborted children and defended the act and later defended forcing people to use so-called vaccines created with the bodies of aborted children and gene sequencing devices that destroyed people's bodies with cancer, inability to give birth or hold on to a baby, heart attacks. He lied. We need to be careful about the ambassadors of Christ in these positions, that they're not seduced like apparently Francis Collins was, seduced by evil. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There's a lot of curtains being torn down. You know, President Trump, God has acted through him in ways that I never thought we'd see the true mapping of how the corruption works. We always, well, not all of us, but many of us always knew it was there. People who lived in Washington, D.C. or worked around government like I did, it was evident it was there. Just everybody has too much money. And the system encourages fraud. When your business model is, if you want more money, you take it. That's a pretty solid business model. Hard to argue with that. I mean, if your goal is profit and control of others and taking control and lording it over others, something against which God warns us. So that curtain's been torn down. The curtain around the media, the Mockingbird media, that they were just biased, just ideologically biased. Now we know, in fact, they're participants in that system, that we've seen the mapping of money back to them in the case of some of these organizations. Well, it's subscription fees. No. No, it's not. People in the federal government don't need to pay $90 million to know what's going on in the federal government. No, it's not. It's just a fancy way of making sure that you're glad-handed. We still don't know the degree to which Big Pharma owns 8 to 9 out of the 10 top advertising slots in television news. We don't know if that's because it's effective, maybe it is, or if it's because they get good coverage, because they do. There was a time when the media was very, very, very skeptical of Big Pharma, particularly with lawsuits against Pfizer, which is the most penalized country or company in history. And they continue to be allowed to create drugs and to poison people. But there's also this curtain that's been lifted around the inevitability of the black vote, as it's called. And President Trump, God acting through him, has shown that black people may not be a fan of having their cities destroyed by criminal illegal immigrants. Many of them brought in by criminal cartels. Given a choice, they may well choose a leader who says enough is enough. They may not like seeing their kids taught that boys are girls and girls are boys. And they may choose a leader who comes along and says, we're not going to teach that anymore. They may not like their kids being sexualized at a young age, say in grade school. Black parents may not like that. given a choice, they may vote for a leader who says, we're not going to do that anymore. They may like a leader who says, you know, we actually can deport illegal immigrants. We actually can bring jobs back. We can do these things. We can speak common sense. Men aren't women. So part of what God has done through President Trump is shattered that, torn down that curtain of the inevitability of the black vote going to Democrats. Now, President Trump is not a conservative. I don't even know that he's a Republican. He's a populist. Because there's a lot of positions he takes that are not particularly conservative. It's a new party he's created. But given the choice between this and the Democrats, there's a lot of people who are saying, I have to go with President Trump, his party, whatever it is. MAGA, I guess. But the inevitability of the black vote going to Democrats and seeing that curtain torn down has been quite a phenomenon. The Mockingbird media takes women like Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett, believe it or not, is a lawyer. And her job in Democrat circles seems to be to say the most ridiculously indefensible, offensive, stupid things and then go on TV to defend them because as a black woman, she should not be questioned because she's virtuous. Well, that curtain is being torn down. This Texas woman had some words for those who voted for Jasmine Crockett into office.
Texas, what are y'all doing? Are y'all really proud of the representation y'all getting from Jasmine Crockett? I'm serious. Are y'all proud at the way Jasmine Crockett carries herself in Congress? Jasmine Crockett is a racist, trashy, ghetto piece of mess. Yep, I said it. Y'all get mad at me all y'all want. I stand 10 toes down on what I said. I said it and I meant it. She's a ghetto, trashy, racist piece of crap. Jasmine Crockett's mouth is completely filthy to be in Congress.
Wow. Oh, by the way, she happens to be a black woman. Sorry for the language. Why is she so upset? If you were a black woman and you were told that this is your leadership, I'd be upset too. Again, I sincerely apologize for the language that made it through. I think that got grabbed by Randy, I'm hoping. So she made a video in response to this that got 10,000 likes. God working through President Trump has torn down the curtain that it's inevitable that black people vote for Democrats. And speaking of Jasmine Crockett, on this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like her on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Pay close attention to how Jasmine Crockett speaks in this next clip.
This is not what we should be doing. I don't even know why we fight with Greenland. Why we fight with Greenland? We fight with Canada. We fight with Mexico. Yet we in love with Putin. What is happening? Like, this is not America. This is a terrible nightmare. Somebody slap me and wake me the because I'm ready to get on with it.
That's one way she speaks. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Jasmine Crockett also believes that 80% of the most extreme crime in this country is committed by...
Let me make sure y'all got the facts. Most extreme crimes that take place in this country are committed by white supremacists. 80% of extreme crimes are committed by white supremacists in this country. Do you know who went up there on January 6th? White supremacists.
Interesting. The crime statistics say this, that 3% of U.S. population are young black males. Sadly, 43% of all homicides are committed by young black males, usually against young black males. But did you pay attention to the way she spoke? Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, and this is the kicker, Jasmine Crockett didn't used to sound the way she sounds today.
Absolutely. First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress. It's just not what my plan was. But what I've always decided is that I would step up when there was a need.
That's the Jasmine Crockett who went to private school and law school before she decided to start mocking poor black people who speak the language of poor people, poorly educated. Ebonics is called. Doesn't mean they're stupid at all. Just means it's a regionalism. It's a culturalism. It's the language of lack of income, lack of hope, lack of schooling. Doesn't mean that they're stupid. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean God doesn't love them. I've lived in places that have regionalisms that are bizarre. I've lived in a place where no one says library, they say library. But Jasmine Crockett's acting in Congress. She's acting. She's acting, as people might say, the black woman said, ghetto. That's mocking. God will not be mocked. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I had the greatest opportunity to step in and do something in a gym capacity. I actually had my CrossFit L1, which is almost meaningless in CrossFit coaching circles. I mean, it's harder to get than any other coaching certificate at that level. But it's the very first level. There's, I think, L4 now. So I was a licensed CrossFit coach. Love that. I don't do a lot of coaching. I've done a little bit, mostly with friends. But the other day during class, my friend Gail teaches a class and I work around her. I always say her, she has the floor, you do what you want. I'm in here an open gym and I'll do what I want. I can stay out of your way. And we've grown to know each other a little bit, not well. And so we see each other just in this class. And it's mostly women who attend her class. And there's some families that come in, moms and their girls. Sometimes the dads come. And I can't help but have a coach's eye sometimes when I'm watching and just observing how people move. And that's really what CrossFit coaches do, is we look at how people move. Because CrossFit's about range of motion. Everybody thinks it's about strength and cardio capacity and balance. That's all true, but it boils down to efficient movement. And perception, that is watching others, is easier than proprioception for me. Proprioception is knowing how you're moving. So in other words, I'm a really good critic, not always a good mover. But God has gifted me this year, crazy, in my division for old men, at a scaled division, by the way. Right now, God has me ranked 14th in the world. Crazy, crazy. Years of coaching from a great gifted coach. I miss that coach so much. And so I'm in this environment, and I'm watching the young girls go over to a machine that's called a ski erg. So it's effectively like a rower, but it stands up against the wall and you grab these handles with your arms and you thrust them down like you're a cross-country skier. We've probably all seen the motion of a cross-country skier. And I'm watching them and they're limiting their movements. They're just using just barely any levers. Like there's just tiny little movements. And I put a note in my mind. I know these girls' names. I know their moms. And so at the end of the workout, I came over and said, can I show your girls a superpower on the rower? I mean, on the ski erg? Is that okay? They said, sure, show us too. So I went over and said, hey, girls, come over. You want to learn a secret superpower on this device, this machine? Yeah. So I went over and had the great, great pleasure to teach them. So we started with physics. And I asked one of the girls, what's the hardest or easiest way to get up a big steep hill? Is it to march straight up or to go back and forth and work your way up gradually? Work your way up gradually, right? What you lose in distance, you make up in effort. So let's do this. Let's climb this hill together. But let's now use distance as your friend. So I showed them how to stand up tall and then bring the ropes down and how to use the weight from their torso and the power of their hips. And oh my goodness, It unlocked. Then we talked about physiology. This is the physics of biology, how God made our bodies. You girls have powerful legs and hips and a powerful ab and core, so we're going to use that. And then they did it. They raced. One of the girls had been stuck at about 750 calories an hour. This is one of the ways you count how your output on these devices. She pulled 1,400 calories. She turned around, and it's the first time I've seen her in the gym put her hands up and celebrate. She got high-fived by her friend who got 1,100 calories. She'd been locked down at 600. And I got this amazing thrill to see these young girls celebrate this. Later that week, one of those girls during a workout came to me and said, I pulled 1,600. I love that because it reminds me of a time when my daughter celebrated these achievements. But I love something much, much more. And it was this, that during one of these gym sessions when I was cleaning up, there was a woman my age, a very heavy woman, a woman who wears an arm brace, and she was on the floor doing her variation of a bear crawl. And the Lord spoke to me, and are you not going to help her? I couldn't. It's not something that can be improved upon. Where she's at, she needs to be at that level. But here's what I did get to say. When she stood up, I got to say to her, what you're doing is incredibly hard. And I am so proud of you for doing it. So proud of you for using the body God gave you the way you can use it now. Such a pleasure to watch. And I was gifted with this smile from this woman. She said, I love that you mentioned God in that. All things. God gives us these opportunities sometime to be the reason that someone comes home with a smile. God gives us these opportunities to be ambassadors, that this might be the first time that woman has been complimented on something in regard to her body in decades. Let us use those opportunities wisely. The beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations until God decides we can speak again together. May his peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.